Welcome.
Hey, Mary.
Hello.
All right, shall we start? I'd like to call the meeting to order. Jerry, welcome, and would you do the roll call, please?
Chairman DeLong?
Here.
Deputy Chair Corcoran?
Here.
Legislator Criswell?
Here.
Legislator Peretti?
Here.
Legislator Warro? Legislator Donaldson?
All right.
Mary, thank you.
Nettie, thanks for sending out the minutes. We've got a few here to approve. So can I get a motion to approve the minutes and transcript of April 14th meeting?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion to approve the minutes and transcript of the May 5th meeting. Do I have a motion?
I'll move that.
All right, very good, thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion to approve minutes and transcript of the joint meeting of Ways and Means and Legislative Programs, May 11th, 2020.
Motion.
All right, second.
I'll second it.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, again, welcome, Dr. Roberts. Would you like to give us an update?
Yep, we got a couple things. One is our summer enrollment surprisingly came out about 8 FTE ahead of last year, which is a real surprise. The fall is so uncertain right now, it's scary. But we, you know, we're putting everything into it. You know, there's SUNY system has created a new campaign, which is Stay Near, Go Far. And there's going to be TV spots, which is all funded through SUNY. So we're hoping that we're going to get a kickstart with that. Still not sure on the procedure of opening next year. We're working with the chancellor, who is in direct contact with the governor, and the governor will really be the one to roll out the plan after we submit it and it's approved. So we're still uncertain how we'll be meeting here. Our budget has been approved by our board, and we'll bring it to the legislature, and we have a resolution tonight that we'd like to do that on July 14th, and Jamie, she has that. And we have a balanced budget right now, but depending on what happens with the state funding, our fourth quarter is what we've heard at this point could be up to a 50% decrease, and we've heard 30%. Then recently we heard it may not be a decrease, but it might be a month delay. So every other day we get some new news on our appropriation, how it will come through. So it's up in the air. We build a budget based on our best guess on what we think the enrollment will be. We'll keep our fingers crossed. We have a slight draw from our fund balance, which is very insignificant. We will not be, if the budget goes through as we plan, there won't be any layoffs, which is something that we really want to. We feel that's the most important thing to do is keep the security of the institution. You know, it's real important to us. So I believe that we're going to, you know, if the budget comes through like we planned, we should be fine. If it comes through differently, we'll have to reexamine and, you know, make some adjustments. Most of the savings have been, I have to thank Jamie. She's been very creative in doing a lot of unique things. We've restructured our IT. It was an Aleutian company, and we dismantled it and re-pieced it together, and we saved significantly on that. We've worked with the county, and thank you for the support, that they will absorb our purchasing, and we'll be contracting with the county to handle that, which will save us, and you know, that's two full-time employees that we'll save, and that's huge. And a number of, we have two resolutions tonight on incentive for retirement that Jamie will cover in detail. And if everything comes the way we plan, I think we should be fine for the fall, but we'll keep our fingers crossed. I guess that's the best we can do.
Well, thank you, and good job. Excellent job, Jamie.
Thank you.
Dr. Roberts, can I borrow Jamie for about a week?
You mean you can you rent her? Sure.
Okay, right. It's all about rent.
Try to do a contract for that.
Well, great. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, there being none, let's move on to the resolutions. Resolution 201 approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county and Howick Law LLC, Office of the Aging. Mark, do you want to provide some?
I'm happy to. I know Sue's driving. She's I know she's here as well.
I'm here.
She's able to answer any of these questions, but we went out to RFP on this contract this year. These are mandated legal services. We looked at what we could do to kind of shrink the contract, and this is about as low as the state will allow us to go. We do need to provide these services to our seniors. Howick Law, who is currently the attorney doing the prior contract, and Legal Services of the Hudson Valley were the two firms that submitted our proposals. This one was just selected by the RFP committee and was the lower cost of the two.
Thank you. Yeah, $75 an hour sounds extremely reasonable. That's great. Well, are there any questions on this?
Right. Do you have any questions for me?
No, it's pretty straightforward. As I read it, this is for estate planning, long-term care, wills, and services to senior clients. I do have one question.
Yeah.
In here that
sure.
Part of this is for remote areas as needed. And how is that determined, and where have you seen the need?
So in the very beginning of the year before the plague hit us, I had asked Erica if she would be willing to go out to some of the remote areas of the county, either on our van, because we have our own van, or with the mobile health van, which wasn't something we fleshed out. And she was more than willing to make appointments or at least entertain the idea of seeing folks in the farther areas where people might not be able to get to Kingston and talk to her about things they needed to, legal issues that they had questions about. So that was the lofty intention we had at the beginning before we had to sort of stop everything. She is still seeing patients. She is still seeing clients remotely, virtually. And obviously with our reopening plan, we would slowly bring people back into the office for those times when it's unavoidable that she needs to see someone in person. But she was very willing to go out to, Pine Hill or Ellenville or down to Wallkill if we ahead of time would set up legal appointments for her for folks who might or might not be able to get out to Kingston. So that's what that was about.
All right. Thank you. Any questions? Welcome. All right. Do I have a motion?
Yeah, I'll move it. John Parity.
Yes. All right. Thanks. Second?
Corcoran, second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Move on to resolution 202, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Gateway Community Industries, Inc., doing business as Gateway Valley Office of the Aging. Either one of you want to speak?
Yeah, go ahead, Sue.
So we actually had quite a few people come to the RFP conferences, but in the end, Gateway was the only purveyor who actually submitted a bid. And that was a little, disheartening, because we were hoping to have some discussions with other people, but that's what happened. Excuse me. And there were a couple things with their submission that was causes us to change some of the ways we do things. And we had sort of a restricted budget ourselves with the number that we had to kind of meet with their contracted offer. So the only way we're really going to be able to supply meals and keep within our budget is to only be able to deliver frozen meals across the county, which means they will be delivering meals once a week as a frozen pack, and then also continue most of the congregate meal sites where people can come and get a hot meal in four or five of the different places. So it's a little bit of a reduction. It's a little disappointing that we cannot deliver hot meals, but it became very difficult for Gateway to find staff to drive. They tried to start a volunteer program. We certainly don't have enough volunteers to do that. And they honestly, according to them, could not find staff to do that. And I'm not really surprised that they couldn't. So that was sort of the compromise.
Go ahead, Sue.
No, go ahead, Mark.
They've also told us that they, on the prior contract, I mean, this is an increase in cost overall, but on the prior contract, they had told us that they had lost, you know, upwards of
a
high
money,
six
money.
Figures, close to $1 million, just providing these services for us. We did various things to try to help add competition. We, instead of doing one contract for the entire county, we broke it up into regions, hoping that we would have smaller companies send in proposals on the various regions. It didn't work out. We had conversations with even Orange County and Dutchess County, so areas that were in the south and that abutted towards the Mid-Hudson Bridge, to see if they would provide meals, and they were receptive and then didn't end up following through on that. And so we had contract issues with our set budget pre-COVID, and COVID has only kind of exacerbated the contract budget.
Right.
So
yeah,
can you
how many folks sums it up?
Yeah, can you tell me how many folks you serve and what kind of a waiting list there is at this point?
And there's a waiting list. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
There's a waiting list that's divided into three levels of sort of urgency, and there's about a little over 200 people still waiting for meals, despite the fact that we had gotten a new case manager last October. I think I've talked to the committee before about this, and we were able to start more quickly turn over more people on the waiting list, getting them off, and as we do that, we get more on. And we lost our Gateway meal manager. We had a full-time home-delivered meal manager that was subcontracted through Gateway with a different contract. And she resigned and left right when COVID started and went into actually DSS. And so we lost a full-time person to sort of manage the meals and the case management that went along with delivering the meals. So we're back down to, you know, five people trying to balance this instead of six. So there were a couple other factors, you know, internally that made this more difficult. So right now we have a little over 200 on the most urgent wait list, and then about 100 on together with the other B and C. We call it A, B, and C. And in order to open them, as I may have explained before, the case managers have to do a very long assessment. They have to figure out what else these folks need in their lives. Maybe it's personal care, maybe it's a PERS system, maybe it's other referrals. And there's paperwork, and there's data entry, and there's phone calls, and there's visits. and we're not able to open them all up. We have more people added at the moment because of COVID-19 who needed meals because they can't leave their home, but there's no case management and none of that other oversight or paperwork involved in that because the state waived all those requirements during this time. So we still have some folks on the waiting list. We still have, you know, we will, we hope, when this is all over and we get into our regular lives again, that we would be able to sort of cover people by phone. We have some volunteers who are willing to make phone calls in substitution for laying our eyes on people when we can't do home delivered meals anymore. They're hot every day. But that's the adjustment we're going to have to make in order to continue to feed as many as we do. For instance, in 2019, we delivered a little over 74,000 hot and frozen meals around the county. In January, February, March of this year, not counting COVID meals, we've got almost 18,000 already in the first quarter. So we're well on the way to being what we were last year, and that doesn't even include the 10,000 or so congregate meals that we've been delivering. So, you know, things are going to have to be adjusted because the budget was, you know, a little bit shorter than last year, and their prices went up. And we're going to go up significantly if I was going to keep the hot meals on the table. And the only way that those prices were going to go down is if I added more and more and more hot meals, but I would have destroyed the budget had I done that in order to get a lower price for a hot meal. So we made the decision to go with frozens, and we'll have to see how it goes.
I did just send a couple documents to Nettie and Vicky that Sue had sent me earlier, and I just hadn't got a chance to forward to the committee. That talks about numbers of wait lists and how many were, this was something that was requested at the committee chair meeting on Thursday. I think Legislator Cahill or somebody else requested the information also for Ways and Means. So I sent it to Nettie and Vicky. Hopefully you all will pass it on to other legislators interested in the committee. But as Sue said, we're gonna have to evaluate. I mean, you've all heard the kind of the dire numbers on the budget situation. And this was not a great situation going in because the prices increased, which again, Sue did great work negotiating with Gateway and, you know, figuring out a way to provide the same number of meals, albeit frozen. I will say we had heard from several seniors that they preferred frozen meals because they didn't have to have it at the time that it was delivered, right? When you have somebody delivering a hot meal, typically you have to eat it then, and people wanted to be able to throw it in the freezer and prepare it in a microwave or whatever whenever they wanted it. So I don't know if Sue can speak to the numbers that would have preferred a hot meal, but...
I'm actually surprised that I haven't gotten a lot of complaints because the meals are easy to heat up. You can do it in an oven or a microwave, and you have to be home to get the meals, but you don't have to be home every day between, you know, 10 and 12 or 11 and 1 or whenever the delivery person comes because there's a window of delivery. So it's a little bit more freeing for people to get a package of frozen meals. You can choose what you want to eat when. You put it in your freezer. It's, you know, I think it's more convenient that way. And it's easier. It's just as nutritious. It's the same meals they're getting as hot meals. It's exactly the same. So, but the driving and the time and the personnel costs for Gateway made it prohibitive to do the hot meals at this time. You know, that might change in the future. I don't know, but we do have people to call. Like I said, the state does expect us to kind of keep tabs on folks.
And the last interjection that I'll have is that the congregate meals have been suspended, but they will come back at some point.
They will. And all those folks that are actually, most of those folks that have been regularly going to the congregate sites are able to go and get their 5 packs of frozen meals that they normally would have gotten every day hot at the congregate sites, or our aides are delivering. We luckily had hired 2 aides, which was funded by another nice SOFA funding source last year. We hired 2 full-time homemaker aides, and basically what they've been doing over the last, since the middle of March, April, May, June, so almost 3 months, is picking up meals for folks, delivering them to their house region by region, and doing shopping for them. So we're trying to balance the huge increased need we've had over the last couple months, number one, because a lot of the seniors aren't leaving, and number two, because some of them, you know, they really can't get out or whatever. So so far we've been able to keep that balanced.
Well, thank you for providing those services. This is a $2.6 million contract, of which the county's responsibility is 24%, about $600,000 or so. So can I get a motion?
Can I, may I?
Please, John.
Please.
You know, when I look at the agenda that you have, these are the two subjects that I'm very concerned about. You know, society will judge us in the long run on how we take care of those that went before us. Of course, I'm up in that range now myself. I recognize that. But they're going to judge us on how we take care of those in need through the gateway in the Office of the Aging, and then how we make sure or try to make sure and prepare for those coming after us, that they have the same opportunities that we have. And I know, Mark, I'm sure you guys are watching this stuff very closely, but these are the certain things that just cannot be abandoned. And I the young lady speaking was very eloquent, and I just think this is the type of stuff that we all have to dig down for and make sure.
Absolutely.
I appreciate the young comment.
Pardon?
I appreciate the young comment.
My hearing's going. But anyway, I said enough, Mr. Chairman. I didn't mean to take too long, but we're going to be judged on certain things. And these are two of the areas that we're going to be judged on to try to do the right thing, as difficult as it is. Thank you.
Well said, John. Well said.
Spoken, yes.
Absolutely.
Any other questions? If not, can I get a motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
All right. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Resolution 212, setting a public hearing on a tentative budget of Ulster County Community College for the year 2020 through 2021 to be held on Tuesday, July 14th, 2020 at 6:30 p.m. Jamie, I think this is about you.
Right, so this is just setting the public hearing for the budget. Typically we do this in June. With everything going on with COVID, we were a little bit delayed in terms of getting the budget put together for our board. So this will be now brought before you in July. We have to have the state, we have to have the budget back up to the state by the end of August. So we need to have it going before everybody in July. But typically this would be normally in June.
All right, Legislator Criswell has a question.
Will this be an in-person public meeting, or will this be an online meeting?
It's going to be an online. We'll work with Vicki to get everything set up.
Thank you.
Very good. Any other questions? There being none, can I get a motion?
I'll move that.
All right. A second. Legislative parity.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Resolution 213, approving a voluntary retirement incentive for eligible Ulster County Community College faculty members. SUNY Ulster. Dr. Roberts or Jamie, want to speak to this?
This is a resolution we were talking about earlier. Anticipate there's a number of individuals who are eligible for retirement, and the savings will be significant to us, similar to what the county is doing with CSEA. So it's, I think it's the right thing to do at the right time.
Very good. Any questions? None? All right, can I get a motion?
Motion, Corcoran.
Corcoran. Second?
Yep.
Second.
All right, Mary, thank you. Let's have a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, thanks. Resolution 214, approving a voluntary retirement incentive for eligible Ulster County Community College professional staff members. SUNY Ulster.
That's the same as the faculty, because of different unions, so we had to present different offers to them. The union has agreed to it. Our board has. Now we're looking for approval from the legislature.
All right. Can I get a motion?
I'll move it.
All right. And a second? Legislator Criswell. Thank you. All right. Like to vote on it? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Very good. Thanks. Thank you both.
Thank you. What you do. What all you do.
Yes. Any new business? All right. Any old business? There being none, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved. I'll move it.
Second.
Sure. Second. Well, thank you all. That was short and sweet. And I'll be seeing some of you soon.
They will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good health to all.